if my voice holds up. We will endeavor to speak on a subject, we'll entitle it, Sowing Seeds of Character for the Kingdom. We're thankful to the Lord for the privilege of being here, for the hospitality that we've received from our host, hostess, and from all the brethren present. We'd like to carry on for just a moment where Brother Leonard left off yesterday, if he doesn't object. And that is from the Galatians, the 6th chapter. And we'd like to read a few verses here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritually, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, have you ever known brethren who were very strong, very firm in coming to the platform and speaking to you? And then, as years pass by, you find that the truths that you appreciated so dearly, they don't hold so dear. Let each one of us, as we have read the volumes, learned the doctrines of ransom, restitution, the proper application of the new covenant in all, let us beware. Let us hold them dear to our hearts, go over them in our hearts and mind, reread the volumes regularly. And by all means, if you haven't had a tabernacle study lately in your class, by all means, when the next occasion comes, vote to renew it. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And how true that is. For as we have learned to appreciate what Brother Russell, that wise and faithful servant, brought to us, I've known brethren that were very firm, wanted to study, wanted to know, and appreciated, and all of a sudden, one in particular is a Baptist minister. I asked his father when I saw him a few weeks ago, where is he? I don't know. He's in some foreign country in some missionary work. You don't think it can happen to you? Beware. Beware, for Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Continuing on. Every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. We need not say to the brethren here in Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba that are farmers, your soil has to be just right. You have to have the right moisture. And above all, you have to have the right seed. Because if you don't have the right seed, you will have nothing. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The question is, what are we going to reap? Are we meditating and studying properly? Or are we reading Brother Russell's writings and injecting our own interpretation on Scripture? Or are we reading Brother Russell and trying to learn exactly what he is bringing out, such as the volumes with chronology? It's not important to memorize the dates. What's important is to memorize, why did Brother Russell come to the conclusions he did, and how do they affect the time and season in which we are now living? Turn with me, if you please, to Peter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter, 1 Peter, I'm in 2nd here. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, we'll begin with verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this next phrase, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. How often do we ask the Lord to help us in trials and difficulties and then grab the trial back and hang on to it for dear life? When we cast it upon the Lord's hands, let's leave it there. Let's observe and see what the Lord has in store for us. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, your devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. None of us are immune to the darts of the adversary. None of us can be so positive that we won't fall. But we have something in the Psalms, the 25th chapter of Psalms, and we will begin reading with the 5th verse. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. When we learned the truth at first, oh, how sweet it was. We were eager to do and follow and listen to the examples and teachings of many of our elders who held the banner high, and how thrilled we were when we listened to the discourses, regardless of what subject, whether it be of the tabernacle, of ransom and restitution, whatever. Let's read on. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. How often we have in our Christian walk said, done, misappropriated, let self get in the way, only maybe a day, a week, a month, or a year we look back. Why did I do it that way? We get on our knees at night and we ask forgiveness. Yes. And as the 26th Psalm there in the second verse, has to be examination all the time. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Try. We're constantly being tested. The question is, how faithful are we? And are we quick to get on our knees to ask for forgiveness? Turn with me back to Corinthians, the 12th chapter. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And in the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members and are of one body. Being many are one body, so is Christ. Do you have to exercise patience with your brother or sister? Remember, he's of, or she is of the body of Christ. Doing the best she can or he can and overcoming fleshly weaknesses. And he goes on, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and he have been all made to drink of the one drink. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot shall say unto, for because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Or is it therefore not the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it not therefore not of the body? And he continues on this way. We may think we are insignificant. We're not in the forefront, but your presence when you come to the meeting, your smile, a word of encouragement. Sister, brother, you're looking good. And say it with meaning, because maybe that's all that brother or sister needs to lift them up, to give them support. They may have had a bad day at work, things gone wrong. And your word of encouragement is all that's needed to raise one another up into doing, helping one another to become more courageous, more positive in walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm going to backtrack to the 10th chapter of Corinthians and the 11th verse. Now all these things happened unto them, that is Israel, for in samples. And they are written for your admonition, upon whom the ends of the age is come. What do we mean? The lessons that are recorded concerning Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the events that took place with these people. We remember how that Abraham, when he was, before God dealt with him, his name was Abram. God made a promise to Abraham, get thee up and go into the country that I show you. I'm going to make a great nation of you, Abraham. A great nation. I haven't even got a child. Finally, at the age of 100, Abraham is given a son. gets to be a teenager. Abraham, I want to prove your faith one more time. I want you to take your son up to the mountain. I want you to offer him. How many of us would be have that kind of courage and faith? Be very difficult. But as he's ready to slay his son, the angel of the Lord steps in. Don't you touch that child, Abraham. And a ram is caught in the thickets. And he takes the ram and he slays him, offers him for a sacrifice. And he tells him that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. That's how God is going to bless him. And then to Isaac. Isaac becomes a mature man. And he gives him the promise that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. And to Jacob, he promises him that his seed would be as the sands of the seashore. Jacob, you recall, worked 7 years for his father-in-law to have Rachel for his wife, only to find out that Leah was given and was told the custom of our land is you only marry the oldest first and then the second. And he worked another 7 years. But then finally, Jacob leaves the land, divides the cattle up with his father-in-law, and they're on their way to Canaan. And he's got his, we're going to jump over here now. He goes to Canaan. And his son, he has special feelings for his son Joseph because he is the firstborn of his wife Rachel. And here we probably should analyze. Not only was he favoring Jacob by giving him, or Joseph, a coat of many colors, but I rather suspect that Joseph was different from his brothers. Joseph sat at his father's feet and listened. Jacob, give me that account again of creation of Adam, of Eve, of Noah, of my great-grandfather Abraham, of Isaac. What was that promise that was given? That the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head? That was given back in the Garden of Eden to Adam. That his seed would be blessed as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. And Joseph must have recorded all this in his heart and mind. And because he kept asking and inquiring of creation, Jacob made this coat of many colors, had it made for him, and give it to him. His brothers became jealous. And then the two dreams that Joseph had of the sheaves bowing to him, and the sun and the moon and the sheaves bowing to him, and his father being upset. You mean we're going to serve you? Brothers are jealous, exceedingly so. What transpires? Let's kill him. Kill Joseph and get rid of him. We don't need this one. And he sends him out. Joseph is sent by Jacob to the field. See how your brothers are doing with the flocks. And he's happy to do so. And the brothers plot against him. and they plot to murder him. Finally, they decide, let's put him in a ditch and let blood won't be on our hands. And then they see the merchants going to Egypt. Hey, why kill him at all? Let's sell him to slavery. He'll be out of our country, out of our hair. We won't see hide nor hair of him again. And what happens? That he takes him out of the pit. He goes down to Egypt. He's sold into slavery. Sold to Potiphar, the captain of the king, Egyptian guard. He's a bright young man, learns the Egyptian language quickly. Learns the Egyptian language easily, quickly. And we learn that Potiphar put so much trust and confidence in Joseph that he doesn't know what he owns. Everything was in Joseph's hand. Joseph was honest, upright, intelligent, and straightforward. Until Potiphar was sent on an excursion from the home for a few days. And Potiphar's wife has ideas for Joseph. He runs to get away from her. And she complains to Potiphar, this Hebrew you brought in here, he tried to do thus and so to me. Get him out of here. You know, if Potiphar really believed his wife, Joseph would not have just been put to prison. It would have been his head. Because that's the way things were done in that part of the world. Joseph spends next several years in prison. And then the butler and the baker are brought in. And the butler has a dream. And he's perplexed by it. But Joseph, being the bright, had a warm, outgoing personality, even in prison, that the prison guard took him under wing, helped him so that he could get around and possibly help feed and get acquainted with the different prisoners. And he recognizes the butler, long-faced. What's the problem? I had a dream. What was the dream? And he explains the dream, that he had a cluster of grapes and he pressed them into the king's cup. And I gave it to the king and he drank. It's no problem. You're going to be exalted back to the position you had. You're going to be serving the king once more. And the baker, he liked what he heard. So he tells him his dream. And he was reluctant to tell him, but he had to. That in 3 days, he would be put to death and hung on a tree. But Joseph made a request to the butler. When you're once again serving the king, remember me. Remember me, because I'm in this prison wrongfully accused. 2 years go by. Finally, Pharaoh has a dream. And finally, it gets around that the butler remembers, "Well, listen, sir, I too had a dream when I was imprisoned. But there was a prisoner there named Joseph, and he explained and interpreted that dream for me. And that's why I'm having the privilege of serving you once again." Pharaoh calls for Joseph to come. Joseph comes. Pharaoh explains to him, "I had a dream and nobody's able to explain it. There were 7 fat kine that came out of the river. And they looked fat, full. No problem of starvation. And then there came 7 lean ones and devoured the good ones." And Joseph interprets the dream for him and tells him what the meaning of that is. And then Pharaoh looks in the 33rd verse of the 41st chapter of Genesis. "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty." And let them gather all the food of these good years that come and lay up corn. Let them keep it food in the city, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not from famine." Pharaoh listens. Everything Joseph says makes sense. But 7 full years and 7 years of famine? Maybe the Pharaoh is thinking, is that really going to happen? But then in the 37th verse, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And the Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a man as this is a man of in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." You know, this is probably a twofold position. Joseph, if you're telling the truth, you're going to be right under my thumb where I can take care of you. But if it works out the way you are, there will be no end. No one will be above you in all this realm, only I, and you can do anything you want. Imagine to be the right hand of the king of Egypt. Then, as time progressed, the famine was reached up into Canaan, and Joseph's brethren were getting hungry. Their father, finally, Jacob talks to his sons, and they go to buy the grain in Egypt. And they go. And we read in the 42nd verse, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. And Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not. For his brethren, he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And they arrive, and Joseph was the governor and over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down before him. Can you imagine? Here is a lesson for you and me. His brethren meant him real harm. Get him out of their life. Joseph grits his teeth, but he recognizes and says nothing to them. Only through an interpreter. And then in the 9th verse, Joseph remembers the dream which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of our land, ye are come. And then they plead with Joseph, no. We're the sons of one man. The youngest is at home, one is not. And we 10 are before you, and they're begging to buy food, but he's accusing them. Finally, he gives them the food. And Joseph, in the 25th verse, we read, Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money in his sack. And to give them provisions for the way. And thus they did. And when the evening came, they opened up the sacks to give grain to the animals so they can continue. So the animals can draw strength and courage. And as they open up the sacks, what do they find? The money that they gave Joseph to buy. Their hearts must have, as we would put it, come up to their throats. What are we going to do? Fear fell upon them. And then as time progressed, famine continues. And the brothers say to their father, we will not go to Egypt to get more food because the man, the governor of Egypt, said, we all come, but he won't see us. But remember something I left out. Simeon and Reuben. Simeon spoke up and argued with his brother, see what we did. We shouldn't have done what we did with our brother. And Reuben also. Joseph keeps Reuben in prison where he can keep an eye on him. And he warns him, don't you come without Benjamin. And the brothers still, you know, they remember, hearts are heavy now. Joseph recognizes this, but let's ask the question. Simeon was the oldest. The birthright was to go to Simeon. Why did he keep Reuben? I'll let you look that up at home. Finally, Jacob goes ahead. All right, if it's got to be, if my gray hairs have got to go to the grave, knowing that you've even lost Benjamin, let it be so with tears in his heart. But he warns and says, take double money, take honey, take whatever you have, the best of our land of dates or figs and so on. Take that to him also with his gifts. And double money to buy. Finally they reach. And Joseph recognizes them. They go into Egypt. Joseph recognizes them and he tells his servants, take them to my house, Kila, and make ready for a feast at noon. You know, that must have been a trying, perplexing situation. They're fear struck. And Joseph, at the same time, still does not let himself be known. He wants to put his arms around Jacob. He hadn't seen him since he was a little toddler. And he does everything he can to refrain himself and goes in the other rooms and weeps. Makes provisions for his brothers when they get to the house to wash their feet. Their animals are to be fed. They're treated royally. They're beside themselves. What have we done? But Joseph refrains himself. And he gives them the grain, feeds them. In the morning, he takes the money, everything, puts this everything back into the sacks, and especially the silver cup of Joseph's table, and put it into Benjamin's sack. And we can imagine they probably got an hour's ride ahead. And he sends his guards. Whoever's got the cup, bring him here. And he'll be my slave. But they come back and they beg and they plead. Joseph recognizes a change of heart. These are not the jealous, selfish brothers he had. They've changed. Brethren, you and I are like these brothers. We have trials, experiences in our Christian walk. The question is, how do we rise above them? Are we learning our lessons so that when they return, Joseph makes himself known, and they weep, and they fear for a moment. This is Joseph, our brother, and they're thinking right away, he's going to kill us for sure. And he calms them. Listen, you sold me into slavery. You meant it harm for me, but God meant it to save lives. In closing, I'd like to read or quote another item here. Excuse me. This is something that Sister Barbara got on the internet. From some sister, I don't know who, but I asked Barbara to print it out for me. The essence of it is this. A young mother wants to encourage her young son in learning to play the piano. Paderewski, the great pianist of the time, comes to town as to give a concert. They go in, she takes him to the auditorium, they sit down, But the mother spots a friend a few rows up, and she goes up to talk to her while there's a few minutes before the concert begins. But as little boys are, they're curious. And he gets up, and the door says no admittance. But the boy goes in, goes up the steps, finds himself at this nice, big, shiny, grand piano. Temptation is too great. He sits down, picks away with his fingers, twinkle, twinkle, little star. The spotlight comes in on this stage, and the curtains open, and the mother looks. There's my son. What does she do? She sits. But Paderewski is moving up behind him. And he tells the boy, don't stop, keep playing. And he starts playing with his left hand and keeps encouraging, don't stop, keeps playing. And he plays, starts, comes in with on the other side with his right hand. Brethren, what's the lesson for you and me? We are like that little child. But we have our Lord Jesus, who covers us with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And we learn to walk in this narrow way one step at a time. Let us be faithful, dear brethren, to the covenant of sacrifice that we've entered into, that we may hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you, Brother Leon, for your service this morning. It was indeed interesting and educational. And of course, goes without saying, as Christians who walk in an narrow pathway, it indeed is a lesson to us. May God bless you, Brother Leon. And shall we close with hymn number 324? The title is Cause for Gratitude. We'll sing all three verses. We shall arise at the third verse. And after the hymn, Brother Leon will dismiss us with a word of prayer. Hymn number 324.
Most loving, kind Heavenly Father, it is indeed with thankful hearts that we bow before Thee at this time, thanking You for this third day of convention, for the words of encouragement and comfort we've received. and help us to be humble to appreciate thy plans and purposes, knowing that soon the full accomplishment of thy kingdom will be established. Bless each heart and mind here before you and the brethren who are at conventions elsewhere. This we thank thee in Jesus' dear name. Amen.